and what cannot be taken away. And we've been on this theme since we have restarted back in August because of what happened with the COVID. Everything was taken away, and things are different than what they were before. And so we want to really major and focus on investing in what cannot be taken away for future events that may take place. We don't know what 2021 is going to hold, do we, amen? No more than we knew what 2020 had to hold. So we want to make sure that whatever happens, we're investing in that which cannot be taken away no matter what happens, amen? So let's take our Bibles. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. If you're able, stand with me. If you're tuning in online, we're at Luke chapter 10. Verses 41 and 42, and we're going to stand out of respect for the word of God. If you're able, if not, we definitely understand that. We're going to read verses 41 and 42 as our jumping verses, and that's where we started from. And this is, of course, Mary and Martha receiving Christ for some food, amen, and they're preparing some things there. And, of course, Mary is chosen, the good part, which cannot be taken away from her. Verse 41, let's read together. Here we go. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Father, bless the next moments that we have together, Lord, under your word, and I pray that as we listen to your word, Lord, you would speak to our hearts and help us to understand what you want us to take home from today's message, that we can chew on the remainder of today and the remainder of this week, Lord. And we thank you so much that we have this privilege to come together to assemble those that are viewing online. Thank you that they're tuning in. Now help us together to hear, Lord, but then not just to hear, but to do what the Word of God has us to do, that we can be more effective for the cause of Jesus Christ. Save a man, a woman, boy, or girl that is lost today, that does not know whether or not heaven is their home. Help them to see the reality that hell is real, but also heaven is real. And Jesus, you came to save us from that place. So help us to receive a blessing today. We love you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Title is Investing and We Cannot Be Taken Away. We have kind of segmented these different messages here. And we're preaching about investing in what cannot be taken away like Mary did. And the definition of investment is this. I'll give you this again. To expend time, money, effort, or energy to achieve a profit. And all of us like a prophet, we mentioned that, amen. And we've seen that we should invest more in the person of God, in Jesus Christ. He can't be taken away. Investing in the promises of God, which is the word of God, which cannot be taken away. And right now we're looking at investing in the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Why? He can't be taken away. And by the way, you want to invest in the Spirit of God. I mentioned last week several things that we invest in without even seeing, amen, with our money and finances and things like that. And the Holy Spirit is a person you can't see, a power you can't saddle, and a power you can't, a promise you can't shake, amen? And that is good to know, amen? We can't shake the promise of God. There's a power that we can't saddle, but a person you can't see. And that's what we talked about last week. Last week we looked at the person you can't see. And I didn't mention this, but let me mention this, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. Even though the Holy Spirit is a person you can't see, the demonic spirits also can't be seen either. Amen. You can't see the Holy Spirit of God, but you can't see the demonic spirits either. And they want to guide you and direct you just as much as the Holy Spirit wants to guide you and direct you. And you can't see either one. So you're preaching, well, how can I discern between the Holy Spirit and the demonic spirits? I'm glad you asked, amen. By the word of God, amen. That's why we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, because the Holy Spirit will never direct you contrary to sound doctrine. And so if I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I have the word of God with me, the Holy Spirit's going to guide me according to the word of God, never contrary to it. The demonic spirits will always try to get the word of God and twist it around for you so you don't understand it, amen? So When you're investing in this person you can't see, which is the Holy Spirit of God, you got to make sure that you're going and being directed according to the Word of God. But by the way, 1 John 4:1 says it this way. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What does that try mean? It means to test them. Ephesians 6:11 is a great help here. It says this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? Stand against what? The wiles of the devil or the tricks of Satan. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what does that mean? It means that there are some spirits that you can't see out there that want to guide you and direct you into that which is wrong. The Word of God is going to guide you into that which is right. The Spirit's going to direct you in that. Ephesians 6:13 says this, wherefore take unto you what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So when I said investing in a person you can't see, which is the Holy Spirit, that is true, but there's also a demonic spirit out there that you cannot see as well, that wants to direct you as well. And you've got to be careful as to which one you're listening to, because the devil makes it sound real good. But it goes real contrary to the Word of God. Amen? So when you look at that, the Holy Spirit is a person you can't see. This morning we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as a power you can't saddle. A power you can't saddle. How many of you have ridden a horse before? Amen? You put a saddle on the horse, you put a bit and a bridle on the horse's mouth, and that's how you're able to ride him. Go over to James chapter 3. And verse 3, I want to see this illustrated in your Bible. James 3. The Holy Spirit is a power you can't saddle. James chapter number 3. And, of course, James here is talking about your tongue. How many of y'all know your tongue is a power you can't saddle as well? Amen. The Bible says the tongue can no man tame. Amen. And as he's talking about the tongue, he's using some illustrations about the tongue. Notice verse number 2. For many things we offend all. Many that offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body or control the whole body. But notice what he says about the horse. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. How many of y'all know what the bit is? It's that metal thing that goes in your mouth like this. And they put a little string, that little, the reins on it, kind of right there, and it goes like this, and it controls the horse. If you pull this way, the horse is supposed to go that way. You pull this way, the horse is supposed to go that way. If you pull up, the horse is supposed to stop. Y'all know that? All right, good. So then you know how to ride a horse. Now, amen. He said, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. Who's they? The horse. Obey who? Us, the rider. And we turn about their whole body. So we can turn this whole big strapping horse. I can get somebody as small as Isaiah and Aaliyah or Nora and Gabriel and set them on a horse. And they pull the bits and the bridles and the reins in the right spot. Guess what? A small child can direct the horse. Layla can get on the horse, and Layla can cause that horse to go this way, go that way, to stop. She can get him, and he'll giddy up, amen, and then she can stop him. All with that. What am I talking about? That's a powerful being, a powerful horse that is controlled by a little bit and a little bridle. It says down there, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He gives another illustration down there about the ships there. He says, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So you're looking at a rudder and a little steering wheel that guides a whole big ship. So when you're looking at this powerful ship, and you're looking at this powerful horse, it's a power that you can saddle and you can operate. May I submit to you that the Holy Spirit is a power you can't saddle. It's a power you can't saddle. Well, let me tell you what we try to do with the Holy Spirit. We try to saddle that power to do what we want Him to do. May I submit to you that's incorrect. That's incorrect. We want the Holy Spirit to do what we want Him to do. And guess what? He is not there to do what you and I want to do. He is there to allow you to do what God wants you to do. And so that's why I say that He is a person you can't see, but a power you can't saddle. We saddle a horse to control it because you're in charge. However, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you're not in charge. He should be in charge, amen? And that's why many of us get in trouble, amen? With the Holy Spirit, He's in charge, He saddles you, and He empowers you. Let me give you three quick thoughts about that, and then I'm going to give you 2 points to go along with that. So first of all, the Holy Spirit is there to saddle you. Go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Many of you know this one already. The Holy Spirit is there to saddle you. So in other words, His job there is to control you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and many of you know where I'm going. The Holy Spirit saddles you. Notice verse number 8. But ye shall receive, what's that word? Power. After that, what? The Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. So again, come upon you. So if you would look at it, if I am the Christian, the Holy Spirit then, or let's say this is the Christian here, the Holy Spirit's job then is to, first of all, indwell you and then come upon you to control you. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. So His job is to saddle you, to make you go where you need to go. Come here for a second, Joshua. So in other words, let's just suppose that Joshua is a young Christian. So he's got the Holy Spirit in him. And so my job then is to come upon him from within him and then control him by the Word of God to make him go. Make him do. We don't like Green Bay. So that's my job, is to come upon him, to empower him to do what he needs to do. So the Holy Spirit's job then is to saddle you, almost as if I had the reins on him and the bit and the bridle. Now my job is to saddle him to do what I want him to do, not what he wants to do. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. So the Holy Spirit, first of all, His job then is to saddle you. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. But then notice the rest of it. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He saddles you. Notice this. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. So now what's the next step? Not only does He saddle me, but then He speaks through me. He says, you're going to be a witness. You're going to be a martyr. You're going to be my spokesperson. So I'm going to saddle you. I'm going to control you, and I'm going to now speak through you. Now, by the way, does the Holy Spirit actually do the speaking through you? No, He doesn't. He uses your vocal cords to bring out what He wants to bring out. And so if this were the case, Joshua, come on back up here for a second. God is love, and so I saddle Him, so I'm going to saddle you, I'm going to come upon you, but now you're going to be my witness. I'm going to speak through you. So you come over here now, and I bring to your remembrance that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So now your job then is to tell this young man what I have come upon you and saddled you to speak. And so what do you say, John 3:16? For God what? Amen. Are you a whosoever? Yes, you are. Amen. So you can receive Jesus Christ. So because I have saddled you, and now I'm speaking through you. Now, is the Holy Spirit speaking Himself? No, but He's using Joshua to speak. Amen. By the way, when people are demon-possessed, and they speak with an alternate voice, is that the voice of the demon? No, that's the person's voice that has been altered in such a way. So the Holy Spirit saddles you. He's going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit speaks through you. Ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then the third thing that I want to bring out when you deal with the Holy Spirit and how he wants to saddle you to speak through you, he's going to steer you. Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. He's going to steer you. By the way, thus far, Joshua has done nothing but yielded himself for the Spirit to come upon him and for the Spirit to speak through him. Then Acts chapter 16. And I want you to notice this. The Holy Spirit then not only saddles you and speaks through you, but then he steers you. Acts chapter 16. Paul here is on the missions field, and he wants to go to a certain direction. Notice what verse 6 says. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So the Holy Spirit here is to steer you. Notice what it says again. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, what happens here? He is steering them. Notice verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed or endeavored to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit, what? Suffered them not. What is he doing? He's steering them. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. What am I saying here? The Holy Spirit's job then is not only to saddle you, to come upon you, but then also to speak through you, but also to steer you. Joshua, come up here for a second again. To steer you. So if I'm going to come upon Joshua, and I'm going to saddle him, and I'm going to speak through him, I want him to speak in certain places. So I'm going to steer him. Now, am I walking for Joshua? No, Joshua's walking for Joshua. I'm just steering him, saying, okay, let's talk to that one. And then let's go over here and let's talk to that one. And then let's come over here and let's talk to this one. And then let's talk to this one. And this one's a Green Bay fan, we won't talk to them. But no, 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 no. Amen. And so now my job is to steer him. Now again, am I walking for him? No. I'm just steering him to go where he needs to go. Thank you, Joshua. I appreciate that. Now, Joshua had a remote control car that turns into a person and starts going like this. I was going to bring the car, but it was too small. And nobody would see him, so I had to move Joshua instead. Amen. So, that's what we're doing. So, what we're looking at here is the Holy Spirit is a person you can't see, but a power you can't saddle, but a power that wants to saddle you. His job then is to come upon you when he saddles you. His job is to speak through you as you witness for him. And then his job is to steer you as you yield yourself to him. Those three things. Well, let me give you two key important factors that I want you to take home with you today that I believe most people get wrong. Two very important keys. And I want you to keep these in mind. The Holy Spirit desires to saddle you, to speak through you, and steer you. But number one, the Holy Spirit will not stop you. His job is to warn you. I hear this all the time. Well, God, if you didn't want me to do it, why didn't you stop me? Why didn't you stop me from saying that? Why didn't you stop me from smoking that? Why didn't you stop me from drinking that? Why didn't you stop me from pulling that trigger? Why didn't you stop me? God's job is not to stop you. You have what's called a free will. Am I right? But that's the argument that I hear. Well, if God didn't want me to do it, he wouldn't allow me to do it. Is that right? Acts chapter 16, verse 17 says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. But the Spirit didn't allow them. The Spirit didn't permit them. Verse number 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, forbidden and suffered them not means that there was something that said, don't do this. Let me bring your attention back to Genesis. Was Adam forbidden to eat of the tree? Yes, he was. He was commanded not to eat of the tree. Did God stop him from eating of the tree? No, he didn't.
But he was forbidden. Don't go eat of that tree. Eve knew. Then the serpent knew. The serpent knew because the serpent said, surely you can touch this. Surely you can eat this. Surely you can do this. What am I saying here? The Holy Spirit will not stop you. His job is to warn you. And many people look at this and they say, well, if God doesn't want me to do it, then he should stop me. God's job is to give you the command and the empowerment to obey the command. Never to stop you. It depends on what the desire is in your heart. Amen. It depends on what the desire is in my heart. If the desire in my heart is greater to do than to not to do, guess what? I will do what I shouldn't do. Amen. That's why a lot of people get in trouble. They know what the Bible says. They know what the Spirit says. But they desire to do what they want to do. And although the Spirit says, don't do it, the Spirit warns them not to do it. Guess what? They do it anyway. Well, that is why most Christians get in trouble. The Holy Spirit will not stop you. He is given to warn you and to warn me, similar to the Garden of Eden. Go to John chapter 16 and verse 13. Show you something here. John 16. And in John chapter 16, Jesus is talking about giving them the Spirit of God. And what the Spirit's job is to do. And notice coming down into verse number 13, John chapter 16. And notice what he says here. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, is come, he will, what's the word? Guide you into all truth. Now, Joshua, can you wait for us a second again? Guide you into all truth. If my job is to guide Joshua, then my job is to say, this is the way, Joshua. This is where you should go. I'm guiding him. Guiding him. Am I doing this? Go, 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 go. No, that's not guiding. That's forcing. That's pushing. A guide says, follow me. This is the way. This is the way. Now, as I'm guiding Joshua, does he have to follow? Christian, let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit is guiding, you should follow. Well, he will never force you to follow. His job is to warn you, to say, if you go this way, this will happen. But if you go God's way, this is what's going to happen. But it's your choice. It's your decision. My job is to guide you and show you the way. But you have to go. I'm not going to walk for you. I'm going to allow you to make the choice. When it came down to the Garden of Eden, the tree was there. He guided them. He says, don't eat of this tree. If you do eat, this is what's going to happen. The Spirit's job then is to guide you. He saddles you. He speaks through you. He steers you. But he will warn you or guide you, but he will not force you. Amen. Thank you, Joshua. His job is to guide you. He says he will guide you, according to verse number 13, into all truth. He shall speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit will not force you. The Holy Spirit's job, he will not stop you, but he will warn you. By the way, the Holy Spirit is like your conscience. The difference is the Holy Spirit warns you according to God's word. So then, the better you know the word of God, the better you can be directed. The less you know the word of God, the less you be directed. So the better I know the word of God, the more he can warn me according to God's word. And the less I know the word of God, I won't be directed as much. And so the more successful you will be spiritually and totally everywhere you go. By the way, Spirit can guide you. I don't care where you're at. Gregory's learning how to drive right now. And so he has learned that red means stop. A red light means stop, a yellow light means caution. He's learned that a green light means go. So because he's learned that principle, Gregory, although he can't speak Chinese, can go to China and drive in China. because he knows red means stop. He can go to Turkey and drive in Turkey, even though he doesn't speak the Turkish language, knowing that red means stop. He can go to Europe. He can go to London and drive on the wrong side of the street and know that it means stop, because he knows what it says. When I know what the Bible says, the Spirit can direct me. I don't care if I'm in China or Turkey or Tucson. If I know what the Bible says, I can be directed wherever I go. Why? God's command don't change based upon location. Well, in China it means one thing, and in Turkey it means another thing, and in Tucson it means another thing. In red, in all those states when you're come to driving, means stop. The stop sign is there. I don't care if stop is written in Arabic or if it's written in Chinese or if it's written in Mongolian language. Guess what? Red means stop, and I don't care if I can read it or not. What am I saying here? When it comes down to the Spirit's job is to warn you, he will not stop you. Now, what if G2 goes to China and runs a stop sign? He's subject to a ticket. What if he goes to Turkey and runs a stop sign? He's subject to a ticket. You think this is going to fly? Well, I'm an American. You know what they're going to say? What color is it in America? Well, red, but it's written in American. It's written in English. Signs are universal. And guess what? Red means stop. And so it matters not where he goes. It matters not what the sign says. If it's that color, he must stop or pay the fine. Sin is the same way. It's bad in all languages. Sin is bad in China. It's bad in Turkey. It's bad in Tucson. Amen. And God's law regulates all of that. So the Holy Spirit will never stop you, but his job is to warn you. Amen. And so that's the first important key. The Holy Spirit will not stop you. He's given to warn you. The second note that you and I have got to remember is this. The Holy Spirit will not make you, but empower you. I hear that one too. Why didn't God stop me, and why didn't God just make me? Well, let's just change that around. Do you want your spouse to be made to love you, or love you of their own free will? You want your children to be made to love you, or love you of their own free will? Amen. See, God's not going to make you. He will not stop you, and he's not going to make you. But he will empower you. If you want to do it, he says, I will empower you. By the way, Joshua, do it again. Now, if Joshua wants to steal something, go ahead and take that. I'm not going to say, give me that, put that back. That's what a child does to a parent. I mean, a parent does to a child. The parent takes it off their hand and says, stop. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He just says, thou shalt not steal. Now, if you want to obey that, I will give you the power not to steal. But thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Now, if you have desire in your heart, you will steal. But if you don't want to do that, you don't want to covet, you don't want to steal, I will empower you not to do that. You will have the ability not to do it. I'm not going to make you, but I will warn you. Hey, that's what the Holy Spirit does. His job is not to get it. You know what I mean? That's what a parent does to a child. We've got God's Spirit in us. And we've got God's Word guiding us. The Holy Spirit will not make you. And he will not stop you. His job is to warn you and to guide you and to empower you. Thank you, Joshua. I appreciate that. So when it comes to investing in this person you can't see, and then this power you can't saddle, his job is for you to let him saddle you. And then for you to speak for him and to steer you while you yield yourself to him. But he will not stop you. He will not make you. That's not his job. Again, that's where you and I fail oftentimes. We say, why, God, didn't you make me? And why, God, didn't you stop me?
theme verse, Matthew 5:16, says this: let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Notice that. Let your light so shine. He says, give me light. Now it's your job to let it shine. I'm not going to make you shine. But I want you to allow it to shine. The Holy Spirit is there to empower you and also to allow you to shine. But he will not stop you and will not make you. Folks, I think that's what a lot of Christians worldwide get in trouble. We think God's job is to stop us and God's job is to make us known. God says, I'm going to give you a free will. But if you want to obey what I tell you, I will empower you to do so. And I will enable you to make the right choice. But you have got what you, I want to do more than do what you want to do. Because the devils, the demonic spirits, can't be seen either. And they will always take you contrary to what God wants you to do. Folks, the danger is this. They make their arguments sound very good. Well, you want this, don't you? Well, God understands. God is contrary to his word. So when I look at this, the Holy Spirit is a power you can't saddle. But he wants to saddle you, speak through you, and to steer you. But he will not stop you, and he will not make you. But he will empower you, and he will warn you. Your job then, as the Christian, is to yield yourself unto God, to obey. And God will give you that ability. The Holy Spirit is not only a person we can't see, but a power we can't saddle you. Our job is to let him saddle us day by day, moment by moment, week after week, and year by year. He will warn you, but he will not stop you. You've got to choose. I've got to choose. He will empower you. He will not make you. You've got to choose. I've got to choose. But we're going to leave here today, and we're going to choose to let God empower us through his Spirit. But he will not make you. We're going to have to choose to not do certain things when the Spirit warns us, but he's not going to stop us. We have a free will. And depending upon your desire, you will or will not let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Paul and his party were trying to go into an area. The Spirit says, no, don't go that way. They tried to go to another area. He said, don't go that way. But then it was up to Paul and his party to obey. It's up to you and I to obey. But what's going to happen if we disobey? It won't be as blessed as it could be. Simple as that, if Paul had not gone, the gospel would not have gotten to Europe at that point, and you're not going to have the gospel today. We don't know. But the Holy Spirit has as much control in your life right now as you want him to have. He has as much control in the saddle of your life as you give him. The question is, how much will you give him? Vicarage, how much of me does he want? Simple. How much did God save? If God saved all, then I believe he wants all. Well, what should I do? Give him all. What if I don't? The moment you stop, confess it as sin, and ask God to forgive you, and get it all back again. It's a moment-by-moment thing. Folks, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make like Adam and Eve. We're going to choose what we want as opposed to what God wants. When you find out that's true, confess it as sin. Get right with God and go right back in the right direction. Don't say, I'm the will of God. Just say, you know, Lord, I had control of the saddle. I had control of the reins. I didn't let you saddle me. I didn't let you speak through me. I didn't let you steer me. I took control. Now I find myself in a mess. Lord, will you please take it back? Will you steer me? Will you saddle me? Will you speak through me? And folks, God is a merciful God. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. And he will use you. Amen. But we have got to understand, he's not going to stop you. He's not going to make you. He'll warn you.
Lord, thank you that you empower us. Lord, you control us. You speak through us. You steer us. You saddle us. Oh, God, help us not to think that we're in control. Help us not to think that we know what we ought to do. Lord, help us to just plead the ignorance that we know we have within a reliance upon your word. And allow your word to guide us. Allow your word to direct us. And Lord, I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God is better and greater than our conscience, guides us according to your word. So Lord, help us to be guided and then to understand you're not going to make us. Neither will you stop us. But you will empower us. And you will warn us when we're not doing right. And God, help us to leave here with a boldness and understanding that your desire is for us to invest in power we can't settle, to allow you to settle us, invest in a person we can't see, because you know what's best for us. So Lord, take us from here and help us to be and help us to do and help us to know the difference from the Holy Spirit and demonic spirit that wants to take us in the wrong direction. And help us to yield to the Spirit of God today to do the bidding of the Word of God. Lord, perhaps there's one today about Jesus Christ, and they understand that the Spirit is telling them, warning them about hell, warning them about their life not being right. But he will not make them get right. He will propose to them they need to get right and show them the dangers. Lord, press upon that heart, that man or boy or girl, the danger that they're in without Jesus Christ, and the blessedness that they can be in by receiving Christ and turning from sin and turning to the Savior. And help that man, woman, boy, or girl today to give their life to you to be saved. Help us as Christians to confess our sins one at a time, moment by moment, and be guided by you, the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for loving us, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm looking around just for a moment. Perhaps you need to allow the Holy Spirit to saddle you and to speak through you and to steer you. During invitation time, why don't you ask God to steer you, to speak through you, let the Spirit of God saddle you and control you. Why don't you ask God to warn you and then have you to stop on your own? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit today to empower you, and then you make the right decision? I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where you're at, viewing online, but I do know this: God loves you, and he wants only the best for you, and he wants to saddle you, speak through you, and he wants to steer you into the right way. Would you allow him to do so today? He won't stop you. He won't make you, but he will enable you and empower you and warn you. May let God speak to your heart. As G2 plays invitation, whatever God would have you do, let's do it today. Right where you're at. Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, I know that the Holy Spirit is a power I can't saddle, so I don't want to try to be in control. I've always made a mess. We'll continue to make a mess. But God, saddle me, speak to me, steer me. Lord, I know you're not there to stop me, but you're there to warn me, help me to follow your leadership. Lord, I know you're not there to make me, but empower me so that I can make the right decisions, go in the right direction. Lord, help me to be what you want me to be. You know, today somebody may be waiting to hear from you. Someone may be waiting to see the direction that you're steered into today. The Holy Spirit wants to saddle you, to speak through you, to steer you. But oh, he's not going to stop you. That word that you might want to say, he's not going to stop you, but he will warn you that's not the best word to use. And he will give you an alternate word to use. He's not going to make you, but he will empower you to go in the direction that he wants you to go. Say what he wants you to say. Do what he wants you to do.
But he's not going to make you. But he will empower you. So it all depends on what your desire is. If your desire is to please God more than you want to please yourself, then you'll do the will of God. And that power that he saddles you with, and that ability that he gives you to speak and to steer you, you'll just give that to him and let him steer. He'll always give you the right words. He'll always give you the right direction. But there's a spirit of Antichrist vying for that same direction, that same steering, that same conversation. The devil wants to steer in a way that's not glorifying to God. He wants to steer in a direction that's going to bring out the flesh in you. Oh, don't give in. Don't give in to that. Again, he won't make you. He won't stop you. But he'll warn you. He'll empower you. May your decision and my decision be one of being in control of the saddle of power to the Holy Spirit of God. Father, thank you. But as much as we give you control, you're going to direct, you're going to lead, you're going to guide. God, help us never be guilty of saying, Lord, just stop me. Lord, just make me, because we know that that's not what the Holy Spirit is there for. The Holy Spirit is there to warn us, not stop us, to empower us, not make us. We have a free will, but Lord, the power is available through the Spirit of God, and that power must saddle us. So Lord, with the Spirit of God in us, help us to give the reins of control over to the Holy Spirit, to speak through us, to steer us. Lord, I pray that when it's all said and done, that we will go in a direction that is glorifying to thee. We will say the things that we always say, but help us never get that misconception that you're going to stop us and you're going to make us. No more than you made Adam and Eve make a wrong choice, no more than you made or stopped them from eating of the fruit. You gave them a command, you said, obey it. If you don't, this is what's going to happen. God, help us to be the same way, to give in control of the Spirit of God. A power we can't saddle, but a power that wants to saddle us. Now, Lord, help us to make the right choice. If there's one today without Christ, help that man, woman, boy, or girl to let the Spirit of God convict them and convince them and then convert them to be saved and be spared from that place called hell. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Help us to make much of this season. Jesus, you're still the reason for this season. And Lord, help us to leave here differently than when we came in, more knowledgeable of the Spirit, more knowledgeable of his control of us. Now he wants to saddle us. And Lord, how he will not stop us and he will not make us. But he will empower us and he will warn us. And God, help us to leave here with that information and then be obedient to the Word of God, that we may be successful no matter where we go, whether it's Tucson, Turkey, or China, to do what you want us to do. Raise up those that are sick and ill, those caught with the COVID, the virus. Lord, restore them to health. And Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings. And thank you for loving us and meeting with us today. Guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.